This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Avoid Probate with Jason Laidler, heard every Sunday at 8 a.m. on Zoomer Radio. Welcome to the program with a unique focus on helping Canadians avoid probate. The one thing everyone should know about probate is that it's not inevitable. With some planning and good advice, you can avoid the exhausting, expensive, and time-consuming probate process and have your affairs settled quickly and privately. Speaking of good advice, here are your hosts of Avoid Probate.
Good morning, Zoomer listeners. Welcome to the Avoid Probate Show on this beautiful Sunday morning. I'm Jason Laidler here with the world famous Ted Walshen. Good morning to you, Mr. Walshen.
Hello, Jason. How are you doing today?
For the first Sunday of August, I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Yes, we're closing in on you know what.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy fast and scary.
I know we're a month away from Labor Day. It gives me the willies. But then again, we're only a month away from the beginning of the NFL season.
Oh, well, that's exciting.
Well, it is. It is.
And we should say, if we sound a little different today to the regular listeners, it's because we are not in studio today. We're calling the show in today. So it is going to sound a little different for the regular listeners.
Yeah. Shouldn't sound much different, but it'll sound a little bit.
A little bit. And if you're not a regular listener, we're glad you're here for the first time, and we want you to become a regular listener. It is the Avoid Probate Show. We do this every Sunday morning between 8 and 9, roughly, talk about probate stuff.
We want you to think of us as people who are here to help, to inform, and really as think of us as friends.
Absolutely. We are friends.
Because today, being the first Sunday in August, is International Friendship Day.
I see where you were going with that. Well done. Yep.
Well, the master segue.
Yeah. International Friendship Day. That's nice.
Every day should be International Friendship Day without sounding too corny, but it's so true. You look at what's going on in the world right now and you think to yourself, my God, it's so, you know, our neighbors to the south, and God bless them all, but their nation has become so divisive. It's, you know, and if people lose friendship, lose friends, and friendships dissipate and break apart because of, in many cases, because of politics, right? So they say that's why you never discuss politics and religion at the dining table, right? Because it's
or on the Avoid Probate Show.
Or on the Avoid Probate Show. So today is Friendship Day. So, that'd be a bad idea to pick up the phone and call a friend you haven't spoken to in a while and just say hi.
Quite agree. You know what else we're celebrating today besides Friendship Day?
Ted? After the show. What's that?
A National Kids Day.
Well, every day is National Kids Day.
I know. And we keep saying that when we see these things that should be, you know, ingrained in day-to-day life, day-to-day living.
Yeah.
But somebody decided that August 7th, the first Sunday in August is National Kids Day. So I guess I should call my kids later when the show's over.
Yeah, I guess. Or shouldn't the kids call you?
No, I think it was National Kids. They call you on Father's Day. You call them on National Kids Day. But I have to wait till 11 a.m. in the morning because they'll be sleeping until that time and they won't take my phone call. Teenagers.
Yes. Okay.
Right.
See, my daughter will be up. She's up before I am because she has a 3-year-old. Oh. Or almost three. My daughter, actually, my granddaughter will be 3 in 9 days. Thanks cool. for reminding me.
You're welcome. Better get on that birthday present.
Exactly. Exactly.
That RESP contribution.
That's right.
Yeah. You know what else is happening today? You'll never guess. Come on.
Is it National Psychic Day?
I set you up for that. Yes.
I know you do.
I knew you were going to say that.
Have you ever been to psychic? Have you ever had your
more than once?
Yes.
Yes.
And how accurate were they?
It's hard to gauge. I mean, I have to say there was accuracy. Some of the reports, some of the comments were very accurate in a weird way. I don't want to go into the details here, but I spent some time in South America and I went to the psychic so-called witch doctor thing in South America. That was weird. But more recently than that, we hired, well, my wife hired a psychic to have a psychic party. You can do that, right? You can hire the psychic, invite 6 friends over, have wine and cheese, and then you take turns, each chip in, and they each have a reading. And that was really, really.
And do they do it in front of everybody else?
No, no, no. The reading's private.
Okay. Because I wouldn't want that.
No. The reading's private. That lady, though, Teresa Caputo, do you know who that is? She had the show on, I forget the channel, and she would do like mass audience, or not just, she would do one-on-ones with an old cassette tape thing and record it and provide the, you know, you get the cassette when it's all over. But she's coming to Rama, is what I was going to say, Casino Rama. And I think it sells out right away every time they announce that she's going to be in town and whatever venue she's going to be at. She had this TV show for a long time. I forget what the TV show was called, but her name's Teresa Caputo, and she communicates nonstop. So you'll be in the grocery store, and she'll be in the grocery store buying bananas 4 feet away from you, and she'll turn to you, and she'll say, "Hey, sorry to interrupt, sorry to bother you, but you know, did you just lose your mom? You know, that kind of thing." And she just approaches total strangers because she can't control it.
Really?
Yeah. Well, that's what she says. And then it's amazing, and that's why they made a TV show out of it. You see the reactions from people. They're like, nobody could have known that. Like, whatever it is, she says, you know, I'm hearing this and someone's telling me this. And the people are like freaked out because they're like, there's no way you could have known that. There's no way. I haven't told anybody.
Did you ever watch The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson?
Yep.
Remember he used to do a character called Karnak the Magnificent?
Vaguely.
Where he would hold up a card to his forehead and he'd read out the answer. And then he'd open an envelope and he'd read the question.
Well, Ed McMahon had to provide the question.
That's right. That's right. Right, right. So one of the funniest ones I ever heard him say, the answer is sis, boom, ba. And the question is, what's the sound a sheep makes when it explodes?
Boy, that's awful.
That's terrific. What are you talking about, awful? It's a fabulous joke.
Poor sheep.
Yeah, well, it's just a visual. No sheep were harmed during the recording of this program, trust me.
Yeah, that's good.
So coming up on the show today, and I'm excited to welcome her back, Debbie Stanley, our friend from ETP Canada. She's in the States. She deals with the States. And we put together a segment called Solving the Probate Puzzle. So each week, she will she has a case file. She has a case of a gentleman who passed away, and she's calling him Mr. Chips, and he has left a substantial estate behind, and it's a little complicated. She's dealing with three financial institutions. So each week she's going to tell us what happened in the past week, just to give you an idea of how quickly or slowly the whole probate process takes, because Jason is here to help you avoid probate. But if in case you have not and you find yourself in a situation where you have to deal with it, then we have someone like Deb. In fact, exactly, Debbie Stanley, who will help you solve the probate puzzle. So today is episode 2.
Yeah. And I can't wait. I think it's such interesting content. And I said last week, I think it's probably never been done before on the radio. And so we're breaking ground here, and it is fascinating. It's going to be monotonous and boring at times, but that's kind of the point. But it's early in the process right now, so there's lots of paperwork to complete and file. So there's lots to do at this point, and she's going to explain some of that to us when we get back from the break here, the first break of the morning, which we should probably go to right now. Yep. So top up your tea and coffee, and we'll be back with Debbie Stanley right after this.
Learn more about avoiding probate at avoidprobate.ca or call 1-844-667-7628. Back with more Avoid Probate after this.
Avoid problems you didn't know you had.
Avoidprobate.ca.
Avoid all that red tape.
Avoidprobate.ca.
Avoid high fees.
Avoidprobate.ca.
Avoid a long wait.
Avoidprobate.ca.
Avoid expensive fines.
Avoidprobate.ca.
Avoid uncertainty.
Avoidprobate.ca.
Don't wait.
Avoidprobate.ca.
This is Avoid Probate on Zoomer Radio with Jason Laidler of Avoidprobate.ca.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Avoid Probate Show. Ted Walsh in here with Jason Laidler, and it's time for our weekly installment. We began this officially last week our weekly installment. This is segment number two of Solving the Probate Puzzle with Debbie Stanley from ETP Canada in the lovely city of Guelph, Ontario. Hello, Debbie.
Hello. How is everyone?
Everyone's well. Just to recap for those people who weren't around last week, you deal with the states and you deal with helping people who are dealing with probate. Jason helps them avoid it. You help them deal with it. And so we're going to be following you as you progress along your path to solve this probate puzzle for an individual that you have named Mr. Chips.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Right?
Mr. Chips.
And that's
so
correct.
Mr. Chips' family is facing a fairly expensive proposition, I understand.
Yes. So if we recap from last week, Mr. Chip passed away and he left a home in his name only and then three different bank accounts that were in his name only. Everything that was with his second wife has passed along to her, but they still have to deal with the estate as he had specific requests for his children and for his second wife. So we are on week two of this, and I know it's psychic day, but nobody could foresee one of the things that has happened. And I'm not sure if you remember last week, we identified that both the wife and his sister were the named executors in the will. However, the sister had some health decline and she broke her hip. Mm-hmm. So we have a little bit of a hiccup here.
Yeah, hiccup.
Yeah. A hip hiccup. There's a tongue twister for you.
Yeah.
Because at first she thought, oh, you know what? I will be an executor along with my sister-in-law, which meant she needed to physically go into all of these banks to request the information. And she's now in the hospital and can't go along with the sister. So there's been this, sister-in-law. So there's been this hiccup because they can't get the information without both of them being there for the financial institutions. So it looks like she's going to renounce because it's holding up the process, but she's still thinking on that. So that's just, you know, delayed us that little bit more on getting the paperwork for probate. Other than that, we have received the home appraisal. So we're good. From Bank One, we got the information on the $1 million investments. So we have the breakdown and we have the information for his bank account. However, Bank Two and Three, they are online banks, like financial institutions.
Right.
So struggling a little bit because we are getting bounced from department to department and the person doesn't work there anymore or the person's on vacation. So still waiting on the info from Bank Two and Three so that we can proceed with the probate paperwork. So that's where we are on week two. Some unforeseen hiccups.
That's a lot of content for week two, man.
Have you dealt with online financial institutions in the past? Because I imagine that it would be it's a pain dealing with banks to begin with when they're there in person, because they're not always there in person, as you know. But when you're dealing with them online, that makes it, I would think, like twice as difficult.
Oh, it's way worse. It's way worse. As soon as we see the name of an online financial institution, it's just, we know we're in for it because you don't have a particular person to reach out to. You don't have a branch to go into. And then on top of it, they're asking you to fax things and mail things. And we're going back to 1920 on the way we're doing things. So it just prolongs the entire process.
And these online institutions, they're really subsidiaries of existing banks, right? Like, for example, correct me if I'm wrong here, but like Scotiabank's subsidiary is...
Tangerine.
Mm-hmm. But that doesn't help you. Like, you can't go to Scotia and say your friends at Tangerine aren't returning my calls.
That's correct. They're completely separate. They say, well, it's a separate process, separate estates department. So even though they're subsidiaries, they're still an entirely different way of dealing with them.
It's like the low cost airline variety,
right?
Scaled down, less service, less amenities. As if the service and the amenities could be any worse at the regular bank, you know, they are. And I get frustrated too when I visit with somebody who's talking about avoiding the probate process like they should be before it's too late. And I see this online banking statement and I just cringe. Then I know what that means.
So at this point, you have to wait for both of them to get back to you because you can't move unless all three parts move simultaneously.
Yes, until we can get the actual asset values. I mean, we could guesstimate, but because it's such high amounts, we don't want the family to have a big difference in probate tax that they have to pay. Right. So we're trying to get, you know, as close as date of death, especially when we're dealing with money, right? Yeah. You can get date of death value. You just have to pull it. It's different when it's different types of assets that you need appraised or can be changed. So in this case, it's better to move forward with the actual statements that we could get from them. And then, of course, the sister hiccup put a little wrench in things as well.
Speaking of date of death, I want to go back a second and ask about the home appraisal. So I've got a couple of questions. First of all, I'd like to know what it cost. And then I guess the other one's maybe more of a comment. We need the value. The appraisal has to be effective on the date of death, right?
Correct. So it cost this family $565, and the value is on date of death, regardless of what happens a month from now. If the home prices go down or up, who knows what's going on? It's on that particular date. So most of the times they're going backwards, of course, and it could be months that they have to go back. In some cases, we've had to do a year backwards. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, because they sit on it.
Mm-hmm. And I know in the past that when I've purchased houses and sold houses, when you have a home evaluation, that doesn't necessarily mean that the house is going to sell for that. It could sell for a lot more money than what it's appraised at.
That's correct. Or a lot less, right? The market went down. So let's say somebody passed away when we were in that crazy peak, but now it's worth something different. It's still date of death value. That's where the tax returns come into play, and then you either have a capital gain on for the estate, or you could have a loss.
Okay. So when we meet again next week for segment number three, hopefully at that point, those two banks will have come on board and we will be moving forward, and we'll be able to follow the progress of you moving forward with the estate of the late Mr. Chips.
Yes. Fingers crossed.
Now, in the meantime, should people like to get a hold of you at ETP Canada, what's the best way to do that?
Yep. So our website is etpcanada.ca. Our phone number is 866-309-0387. And our email is info@etpcanada.ca. And that's monitored by all staff, so you'll catch somebody.
Okay. You had something to say, Jace?
I've got other questions, but I'll save them for next week.
Okay. Thanks so much, Debbie.
Thanks, have a great day.
Talk to you later. Thanks.
That's Debbie Stanley from ETP Canada, Saving the Probate Puzzle, brought to you each week by Debbie and ETP Canada. And we'll be back in just a moment.
Learn more about avoiding probate at avoidprobate.ca or call 1-844-667-7628. Back with more Avoid Probate after this.
My name is Marilyn, and I avoided probate.
Our story begins when Marilyn paid a visit to her mom's bank. She noticed something odd.
She had 100% of her money tied up in GICs, making 1%. It wasn't enough to sustain her. She was dipping into her capital big time.
Marilyn wanted to disperse the money for her mom's needs as she ages. She had acquired power of attorney.
No, you can't do anything with her accounts. They're in her name.
And that was that.
I was overwhelmed by everything. I didn't know what to do.
That's when Jason from avoidprobate.ca stepped in.
There was a sense of urgency because Marilyn's mother is no spring chicken. This process takes time, and I didn't know how much time we had.
He walked me through what I should do when I went to the bank, what I should say to them.
Not only that, Jason went with Marilyn to the bank.
They weren't happy that I was sitting across the table from them in the office, and they knew that we were trying to move this money. But I knew that we had a right to do that, and that it was the right thing to do. Persistence paid off, and we got the transfer done in time. So many seniors have these GICs at the bank. They will be probated. They will be frozen. They're paying next to nothing. And they're locked in with maturity dates. It drives me crazy. I don't understand why anybody buys these things. There are much better options out there. And sometimes we can do this transfer at no cost to the account holder.
Should you get in touch with avoidprobate.ca?
Anybody who has non-registered accounts at the bank needs to look into the services we provide at avoidprobate.ca, because by definition, you can't put a beneficiary on a non-registered account at the bank. You can put a beneficiary on a non-registered account at an insurance company. The rules are different.
I felt that the banks thought I was a thief, but Jason made me feel so much better. I know we've done the right thing.
Call us at avoidprobate.ca on the toll-free number, but call us before your mom or dad passes away. That's when we can help you.
Have the conversation with your parents and avoid probate like Marilyn did with avoidprobate.ca. Call 1-844-667-7628.
This is Avoid Probate on Zoomer Radio with Jason Laidler of avoidprobate.ca.
Well, good morning and welcome back. This is the Avoid Probate Show with Ted Walsh and Jason Laidler. And we invite you to come visit us on our website. I think you'll find it quite interesting. It's avoidprobate.ca. When you go there, you'll find all kinds of really interesting stuff, including a probate calculator, and you can punch in some numbers and essentially figure out what probate would cost you in your situation. So do that, and you can also press a little button, and it'll take you back to past programs in case you missed a program, you'd like to hear it, or if you did hear a program that you would like to hear once again, you can do that as well. And I believe we're pretty much up to date on our past programs. Every once in a while, we have to sort of play catch up, but I think we're pretty much okay there. And as usual, please send us any questions that you may have at info@avoidprobate.ca or call toll-free 1-844-667-7628, 1-844-667-7628. Jason.
Thanks, Ted. And yeah, you're right about the being up to date on the podcast. And I need to apologize to the listenership. We want to be accurate here. I said we were up to date last week. We were not, but we are now. So moving on, because we're going to be tight on time for this segment, I want to talk about power of attorney stuff, which we have talked about before many times. Being a power of attorney, it's a big part of the estate planning mm-hmm. process, and it's a big part of avoiding probate as well. I won't get into that. We're not going to spend too much time talking about our solution here today, but we'll make up for it going down the road. But the reason we're talking about power of attorney at all is because the question came up recently about compensation for powers of attorney. Now, we've talked about compensation for executors a few times.
And how does that work? Is it a percentage of the estate?
It absolutely
the executor
is.
Gets?
It's really interesting how it works. I'm going to lay out, I don't know what you call it, the pay schedule. There's a pay schedule, which I'm going to explain. But I first want to just explain that an attorney for property is entitled to compensation in Ontario unless the power of attorney document states otherwise. And I've never seen that happen. I've never seen a power of attorney document. We see them all the time. I've never seen one that says my power of attorney is not entitled to compensation. It is uncommon to limit or specify the compensation. So the provincial fee scale generally applies. And that's what I was making reference to a minute ago, the pay schedule. It's called the provincial fee scale. Who knew? Right? So here we go. The provincial fee scale currently is 3% of capital and income receipts, 3% of capital and income disbursements, and 0.6% of the annual average value of the assets. 0.6% of the average annual value. So I did the math on it. It's not very tough. $1 million, let's just say for easy math, it's $1 million. 0.6% of $1 million, hope I got it right, $6,000 a year. So $6,000 on top of the disbursements and the receipts is what the power of attorney can be entitled to. It could also be more or less if it's stipulated. $6,000 divided by 12, $500 a month. So there you go, Ted. In your retirement, maybe you want to be a professional power of attorney and manage a few $1 million of assets for people and make some extra cash. But no, you can't retire because we need you here on the Avoid Probate Show every week on Sunday morning.
Thank you. It's very kind of you.
I guess.
But it is Friendship Day, though. So
that's right. Maybe you could do both. I don't know.
Yeah.
But these amounts are not guaranteed. However, and they can be decreased or increased by the court. So according to the Substitute Decisions Act, compensation may be taken monthly, quarterly, or annually. And you should contact the attorney, not the lawyer. Remember, the person, the attorney is the person who's helping you for property. You should contact the attorney for property to raise this issue with them as a starting point. I think the example that I'm referencing here is a situation where the power of attorney's changed. And that happens. Somebody can say, I don't want to do it anymore, or they move away, or they lose their own capacity. I mean, the power of attorney obviously can and does change depending on circumstances. So this is interesting as well. It goes on to say that even if it's been a long time since you were acting as the power of attorney, there may not be a limitation period to worry about. In terms of citing a precedent for this, there's a court case called Armitage versus the Salvation Army, dated back to 2016, where it involved an application for compensation in 2013 for somebody who was acting as an attorney as far back as 1990. So 23 years prior to the request, they filed the application for compensation in this case, Armitage versus the Salvation Army. You can look it up. It's in the public domain. Specifically in this case, the judge found that the two-year limitation period under the Limitations Act does not apply because compensation for an attorney for property through the passing of accounts process does not constitute a claim within the meaning of the Limitations Act 2002. So what he's saying is normally there is a statute of limitations on this, and 23 years later, you've missed the boat in most situations where you're making a claim, but not here, not with power of attorney compensation. That does not apply. An attorney, this is really interesting. An attorney for personal care. So far I was talking about properties. Remember, there's two types. We call property everything you own, not just the house, not just the real estate, but the assets, the investments, the money in the checking account. Technically, that's all property. And then there's the power of attorney for personal care, and you can get one or the other. But of course, most people get both at the same time, because why not, right? So the attorney for personal care can make a request for compensation to an attorney for property. There's no fee scale, as is the case with an attorney for property. The request should be reasonable given the circumstances. Now, I got to tell you, and I think you'll probably agree with me, I don't think I've ever seen a claim for compensation from anybody acting as a power of attorney in any way, shape, or form.
I didn't even know that existed. I mean, as I mentioned, so to be honest with you, and I know some people who have been powers of attorney, and I don't know that they ever mentioned to me that there was a financial transaction that took place.
Well, maybe I'll run it by Debbie Stanley and see if she's ever heard about it. Or we've got some lawyers on the team here who are experts at estate planning stuff, and they're the ones who draft our bare trusts and the wills when wills need to be done and do the legal heavy lifting, because that's not me. I'm the investment guy. But I'll run it by some of these gentlemen on the team and see what they say. Just further along here, we're almost done. It bears mentioning that an attorney for property or personal care is not required to act and can decline or resign. Well, that kind of goes without saying. It's not an obligation. It is an important reason to make sure you speak to someone before naming them as an estate in an estate document like a power of attorney or a will. I'll say that again. It is an important reason to make sure that you speak to someone before naming them in an estate document like a power of attorney or a will. And the reason I wanted to mention that is because I make a point, I learned years ago as a financial advisor years ago, when I'm meeting with people for the first time or second time or whatever, just doing the information gathering stage of the process, I always ask, are you named as an executor for anybody as far as you know? Because people put down Uncle Smith, Uncle Bob as the executor, your brother, and don't tell him. And then surprise. And, by the same token, I asked the question about power of attorney. I said, are you named as a power of attorney for anybody as far as you know? Because once again, same logic. You just put down your brother, your sister, your brother-in-law who's an accountant, whatever, and you don't bother to notify that person. So again, surprise. But that's why, and we've talked about this, it's not a requirement. Just because you've been named, it's not an obligation. But even though it puts you in an awkward position, maybe you might feel like, you might feel obligated. The fees payable to an attorney are considered taxable income. What a surprise.
Well, yeah, not really.
Not really.
No.
It's very, very, very difficult to earn tax-free income in Canada. So, and this is just an aside, which always bugged me, even your Canada pension benefits and your old age security benefits are taxable. That drives me crazy. But anyway, I'm sure it drives a lot of the listeners crazy too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If you're not in the business of providing power of attorney services like Ted Walsh's going to be in a few years, if you're not in the business of it, the income should be reported on a T4 slip and be subject to a source withholding tax. If you receive the income under an order or judgment from a court or other competent tribunal, it may be considered a qualifying retroactive lump sum payment, QRLSP. I'm not going to go into the details of that. If you want more information about POA compensation, I mean, call your accountant or give us a call. We also have an accountant on the team. We've got all the bases covered, right? We want to help you avoid the probate by doing the transfer of the assets from the bank over to the insurance company before it's too late, before you pass away. Put beneficiaries on the accounts once it's at the insurance company, because you can do that there. You can't do it at the bank. The rules are different. And that's how we avoid the probate nightmare. It's that simple with regard to the money at the bank. I mentioned the bear trust. That's how we take care of the probate on the house or the property, not just the house or the cottage or both, or an investment property, rental property, whatever it happens to be. We can use something called a bear trust, B-A-R-E, not the grizzly bear, but the other bear trust, as in bare naked. And the reason I want to mention that again is because I did announce months ago that we are now the owners of beartrust.ca. But beartrust.ca, and we did this because of the amazing interest we got every time we talked about the Bear Trust on the Avoid Probate Show here. We got lots of calls from people saying, I've never heard of it. I still hear it every time I have a consultation with somebody and I talk about, I mean, unless you've heard the radio show, our radio show every Sunday morning here, unless you've heard us talk about it, people say to me, nope, never heard about it. Don't understand. Been dealing with lawyers for a long time. Had my will done 3 times. No lawyers ever mentioned the Bear Trust. I don't understand what's going on. So we just took the initiative and turns out it was available. We bought beartrust.ca. What I'm getting at is I've got good news from the IT department telling me it's almost ready to launch. If you go there today, there's nothing there. There's nothing to see at beartrust.ca right now. But I've been told that they've made good progress, and we will soon be launching something. I haven't seen it yet, but I'll be seeing it soon. But I'm excited about making it live, taking it live so that we can, you know, we talk about going to the website every Sunday when Ted's giving out the contact information, avoidprobate.ca. That's the main website. Lots of good contact there, or got good info there, like Ted said, including the, I'm going to get it wrong now, Ted. I was going to say probate calendar.
But, calculator.
Probate calculator. Ted's put calendar in my head because he said it for like 3 weeks in a row by mistake. So now he's got me saying it. But yeah, the probate calculator is there, of course, as he said. And soon the beartrust.ca web address will either be its own thing, or it'll be connected to that pre-existing avoidprobate.ca website. Anyway, there'll be lots of information there. It'll be live. We'll announce it when it goes live. That's going to happen very soon, I'm assuming, according to what I'm being told by the IT department. It's not me. I can't handle that stuff. I'm old. So having said
that, we should point out as well, just before we go to the break, which we're going to do soon, we should point out that in some cases there's more than one power of attorney. You can have several. Like if you've got 3 children, you can appoint each of them power of attorney.
Yeah, just like you can have more than one executor.
Yeah.
And I think you mentioned, Ted, often they're the same person, but not always.
No. All right. I just wanted to point that out, just to add a little clarification to it, just in case anybody's wondering. But anyway, that's going to do it for this segment. We're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, we will delve into our email file and
big mailbag this week, Ted. Big mailbag
this week. So please stay with us as we continue right here on the Avoid Probate Show.
Learn more about avoiding probate at avoidprobate.ca or call 1-844-667-7628. Back with more Avoid Probate after this.
Avoid problems you didn't know you had.
Avoidprobate.ca.
Avoid all that red tape.
Avoidprobate.ca.
Avoid high fees.
Avoidprobate.ca.
Avoid a long wait.
Avoidprobate.ca.
Avoid expensive fines.
Avoidprobate.ca.
Avoid uncertainty.
Avoidprobate.ca.
Don't wait.
Avoidprobate.ca.
Hey, it's Ted Wallace for Tom's Place. You know, our fall merchandise is starting to arrive, but we still have massive amounts of summer clothing that needs to be cleared. Blowout sale prices on virtually everything, like Cohen suits, regularly $650, now $399 each, or $3 for $1,000. Plus, beautiful sports jackets and designer dress pants, 50% off. Check out our deals throughout the store with huge savings off our already below retail prices. If you need a suit for an upcoming special event, we are Toronto's one-stop suit shop. for the finest outfit for every occasion. There is no better time to find the perfect addition to your wardrobe. Everything is on sale to make way for our fall merchandise. Tom's Place is open daily from 11 till 6, 10 to 5 Saturday, 12 to 5 on Sunday. Visit Tom's Place, 190 Baldwin in Kensington Market. Tom's Place will suit you.
Good afternoon, friends. We are gathered here to remember...
Insert your name.
And we're heartbroken because...
Insert your name.
...did not avoid probate. So the loved ones of...
Insert your name.
...have to wait a long time for what rightfully is theirs. I see I've made you cry.
Recent changes in law make probate slower, more complicated, and more expensive. Don't make it harder for your loved ones. Avoidprobate.ca.
This is Avoid Probate on Zoomer Radio with Jason Laidler of Avoidprobate.ca.
Welcome back, and thanks once again for joining us on this beautiful Sunday morning, the first Sunday in August. This is the Avoid Probate Show. I'm Ted Walshen. Jason Laidler, of course, is the founder and president of Avoid Probate, and he is with us. And the information that we provide for you each week is for general consumption only. It's not intended to provide particular legal or investment advice. Each situation, of course, is different. And if you have legal or investment questions, we can help you. You should always speak with a licensed expert, and you can contact Jason by email at info@avoidprobate.ca. That's info@avoidprobate.ca, or toll free at 1-844-667-7628. That's 1-844-667-7628. And you can leave a message with Jason's mom, and she'll pass it on to Jason. Jason will then get back to you ASAP. Shall we go to the email bag for the week?
Yep. Let's do that. It's actually, it's a combination, of course, it often is. But I wanted to just, before we do that, this first story of an 87-year-old lady that I met with recently. Oh, yeah. What I wanted to say was we've been busy and we've been all over the province. Shout out to, you know, Innisfil, Barrie, Guelph. And of course, as usual, Mississauga. I can't believe the number of calls we get from Mississauga. And just for the listeners' benefit, every time I tell Ted about the number of calls we get from Mississauga, he likes to remind me that it is the fifth biggest city in the country. That's that right, Ted?
And you know what? In the latest census, this I found was shocking. The only major city in the country with the population dropped. We actually lost some residents of Mississauga. Our population went down. Now, not significant, but we're still number five, and it is a huge. And by the way, I was at a celebration of life last week for a dear friend, and Mayor Hazel McCallion was there. And I sat with her and chatted with her. She, by the way, because people ask me all the time, for those people who know that I've known her for years, the former mayor is looking great, still sharp as tacked. She's 101 years of age.
Incredible.
101 and a half, because she will. Let's see. Her birthday is Valentine's Day.
Wow.
And she turned 101, and she looks great.
When you get to that age, do you count the days? Like, I'm 101 and 38 days.
Kind of like little kids do, you know? Like, I'm 2 1/4 years old.
Yeah.
I'm 2 1/2 years old. So she's 100 and, well, she's in her 102nd year of life, which is...
Well, that's amazing. Fantastic.
It's great. That's great.
She might outlive the Queen Mom. I think maybe she has already.
I think she has. I think Queen Mom, I think she, did she make it to 100? Maybe.
Oh, she went past 100. I'm just not sure if she got to 101. I know she definitely got past 100.
Well, she did. Yes, she did.
Yep. Okay, so this lady who called from Mississauga, I'm going out of order here now just because we're talking about Mississauga. You might recall, Ted, a few weeks ago, I don't really remember the details, but we were talking about handwriting and how it's not taught in schools anymore and how silly that seems to be, because it's proven that it stimulates fine muscle control and brainwave activity and stuff, right? So this lady is a teacher, and she called not to talk about handwriting, but to talk about setting up one of these no charge consultations. All her consultations are no charge, and she wants to have a meeting to talk about avoiding probate. And she's on summer vacation, or I don't know if you're allowed to say that, summer holidays. She's not teaching at the moment. Let's put it that way. But she also wanted to point out to me in that conversation that she does make a point of teaching her students cursive handwriting at least 10 minutes a day. Because to her point, she said it's not one of those things where you can just do it like 2 hours on a Saturday. You got to do it. You got to train the brain and your fine
muscle memory,
finger skills and all that stuff.
It's muscle memory, right?
Muscle memory. And I said, that's like bagpipes. You can't just do 2 hours of bagpipes once a week and learn. You got to do a little bit every day. And again, muscle memory. So anyway, she made a point of reminding me of that. We had that conversation and that she said she's one of the few who still take the time to teach the students the cursive, and that's awesome. So, and we'll be meeting with her soon. I'll report back when that happens. The other thing I wanted to talk about, the other meeting I wanted to talk about, was with this lovely elderly lady, late 80s, and her son, early 50s. And I say it all the time, I love it. I love it when there's an adult child in the room, or the neighbor, or your sister, whoever, because it's just one of those things, the more ears, the better. In terms of grasping the concepts, we talk about it every week, Ted. It's kind of like, it's routine for us. But when people are hearing it for the first time, sometimes they're just shocked. And they just will say, that's like, I'm blown away. It's information overload. And I have to respect that. I do totally respect that. It took me years, to get to this point where we can, shout it from the rooftops and be the probate experts, or I should say the avoid probate experts. But it took a long time, a long time. So, a 1 hour discussion covering all kinds of topics, in broad strokes, that's a lot for people to take into. I totally get that. This lady, by the way, she has been a year and a half so far in probating her late brother's estate. So I often ask at the beginning of the meeting, does anybody know anything about probate? Do you want me to start at the beginning and explain what probate is? Have you been listening to the show for 6 months and you're good? You're kind of an expert at this point. Like, I need to gauge where we are in the conversation, where we are, in the timeline. Mm-hmm. And that's when she said to me, she goes, oh, I am well aware of what it is because I'm a year and a half in. And she said, there's no signs of it being over anytime soon. And so because of this, she was motivated to not put her children through the same process. And she called us and set up the meeting. Interesting. She gave us some scathing feedback, just so you know, Ted, because at one point she said to me, often it sounds like the only thing you and I are interested in talking about is the food items in the opening segment. but I'm happy to say there were no food items today. So gross exaggeration, right? Oh, now you did mention. Oh, no, you didn't mention it. I'm not going to mention it because you didn't mention it. I almost tripped us up there. But I'm pretty sure we did Friendship Day, Kids Day, and Psychic Day. Yeah, no food items there.
No.
Right? Another one. Caller, gentleman. Frustrated, called in and explained that his mother passed in 2021. And I think he said there's four kids, four adult children. And it's all been sorted out. The house has been sold. Other stuff has been taken care of. Everything's been taken care of except for one thing. It's really interesting, I think. There was an account at the bank, one account at the bank that his sister was on mom joint. With a joint account with mom and one of her daughters at the bank. And there's a good chunk of money in this account from what he's telling me. And the sister, what she's waiting for, because they're saying to the sister, come on, like, divvy it up. It's the last piece of business in the estate. And she's saying, no, cool your jets. I'm waiting for the clearance certificate from Revenue Canada before I issue any of this money. So the clearance certificate, I don't think we've talked about it much here on the show. When you go through, and Debbie Stanley would be maybe the better person to talk to about it, but when you go through the probate process and the executor does their job and settles the estate, which includes distributing bequests to the beneficiaries who are entitled to receive them, pay the bills, get the tax returns done. And he said the tax return is done because I made a point of saying that she died in 2021. So the tax returns are all done. But the clearance certificate is different from the tax return. And we should spend some time talking about what that means and what it looks like. And we'll do that in another show. But the deal is this. The confusing and interesting part is this. She's on the account with mom. So it's her money. Well, you could argue it's her money. And she may not even need a clearance certificate in this case because people add the child onto the account for the purpose of avoiding probate. And we've talked about it many times. It creates confusion was one of the reasons, one of the many reasons I don't like the joint account situation. There's a better option. Our option, our solution is a better solution. But some people still add somebody to the account as a joint owner. So we've talked about this before, and really the Supreme Court of Canada has stated clearly that unless otherwise specified, when you put the child on the account, the default status is something called a resulting trust. And the resulting trust means that unless you can prove, it's on, the onus is on the daughter in this case to prove that it was intended to be a gift to the daughter from mom. And that happens. That's fine. You can gift it to anybody you want to gift it to, but it has to be provable. And in the absence of proof, the court is going to rule that it was meant to be shared. So it's tricky, and the brother doesn't want to poke the bear too much. He says the family is cohesive. There's four of them, the siblings, there's four siblings, and he doesn't want to be that guy to have a lawyer send a letter. So he's just waiting patiently, but he's frustrated. She's saying she expects to have the certificate come September. He's like, well, who knows? Who knows? But it's just one of those interesting – I thought it was really interesting how – the fact that there was one account that was joint really kind of made things complicated, you know. And I'm sure the intention at the time is often people think they're making things more simple. They're simplifying things. They're simplifying the future by adding the joint owner onto the account. But so many times that backfires. Right. And that's what's happened here. Potentially. I told him, I said, please keep me posted. I want to know how this plays out. I want to know if and when the certificate arrives and what happens if it ever does arrive. I said, let me know. But he said he would get back to me. I just thought we'd share that with the listenership. Okay. Another situation here. I got a call from a longtime client. Love this gentleman. Been working with him for a long time. Went to school with his kid. So I've known him and, you know, I call him Mr. So-and-so because he was my friend's dad. And he called for a couple of reasons. He called because he received recently, last month in July, the mid-year statements were sent out. So a lot of insurance companies, I'm not sure about the banks. I think the banks do mainly quarterly, sometimes monthly, but a lot of the insurance companies only send out biannual statements. So a mid-year at the end of June 30th and a year-end December 31. So in July, people received their mid-year statements, year-to-date reporting on 2022 business. And of course, a lot of people were not pleased with what they saw on these statements because we all know markets have been down globally since the beginning of this year.
Right.
And so that was a concern, and that's a legitimate concern. And we talked about that. And he asked me, you know, do you think it's going to recover? I said, of course it's going to recover. I mean, I'm almost flippant about it. It's recovered every time. We don't talk about returns much here on the show, but you know, the tech crisis in 2000, the funky mortgage crisis in the States, you know, we recovered from that. And there's been a couple others in my experience. It recovers every time. The markets will get back to their previous highs and yep. go beyond. It's just a matter of time.
I think as an example, once this war in Ukraine comes to a halt, and hopefully that'll be soon, you watch the markets recover almost instantaneously.
I totally
agree. To a certain degree and certain sectors, especially.
I totally agree. And I remind the clients, and as soon as there's a glimmer of an ending to this war, and it will end. It will never. No war lasts forever. Putin's not going to last forever. It's going to end one day. We obviously don't know when, but when that happens, you're right, Ted. I couldn't agree more. The markets will go berserk with positivity, et cetera, et cetera. So I put him at ease. I hope a little bit about that. But I also remind him he's like many of our clients, almost all of them have the benefit of the 100% death benefit guarantee, which means if the portfolio is down on the day you get hit by a bus, the insurance company tops it up and pays out the full amount. It covers the difference. It covers the loss.
So essentially, if when he invested his money, he invested $100,000, he contacts you now in the midst of an economic slump and says, I'm concerned my $100,000 is only worth $80,000. And your response is, well, sir, should you pass away today, your beneficiaries will still receive the $100,000 that you invested.
Exactly.
So you haven't lost a penny.
That's right.
And if it's worth $120,000, they will get $120,000.
Right. So this death benefit guarantee is not something the banks can provide. And that's another advantage of moving the money from the bank over to the insurance company. Avoiding the probate is first and foremost. I mean, that's a massive reason alone. Yeah. But there's other advantages. And then the death benefit guarantee is one of several other advantages. We can talk
and you
about
have
it.
And that's for somebody who's under the age of 85.
Correct. Yeah. And if you want to know more about this, give us a call and we'll set up a no charge consultation and we'll fill in some of the details. So the other thing I wanted to say about the same individual, you know, when he was concerned about the numbers on his mid-year statement, I said, I'll tell you what, pull out your 2021 December 31 statement and have a look at that and you'll feel better. Because right up until the end of 2021, the markets were going crazy. 10 years of growth. This 2022 setback is a normal, natural step backwards, but it's one step backwards after 10 years of growth. And I looked at the number for this guy, and without getting into the details, yeah, I'm looking at my notes here. Today, even though he's had a negative return for 2022 year to date, his portfolio is up over $70,000 still because of the growth that he was enjoying before the start of this year. $70,000. That includes his losses for 2022. Yeah. So if he's down 26 grand or something like that, it was something like that, I forget. He's still up 70. That's like a $96,000, you know, gain at one point. And we'll get back there. We'll get back there and go beyond. So you really got to keep it in perspective, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. So I'm glad he called. I'll just take a quick minute to also add that he had a question about his RIF payment. He's elderly, so he gets RIFs. He has a RIF payment he has to take every year based on his age. And he told me a long time ago, don't put it in the bank. I want the check. And I hear that from a lot of people, actually. They don't want direct deposit. They want the check in their hand. That's fine. We can do that. We do that. And he said, you know, I see this, you know, $24,000 of RIF payments year to date, because, but I didn't get a check and I don't see it in the bank and I don't know what's going on. I need you to look into it for me. That's fine. That's what we do. That's one of the advantages of working with us at avoidprobate.ca is you got a person you can call. I've got a person I can call. I call the insurance companies that we deal with because they have great service. That's one of the reasons we deal with the ones that we do deal with. And it was kind of funny. I see, yes, they cut a check. Cause I thought, oh, I hope they didn't put it in the bank, cause that's not what he wanted. Like, we fixed that years ago. They did cut a check. Turns out the check was cut the day after he called me saying, hey, where's my check? So in other words, the check is in the mail. And that's, I'll call him back and I'll tell him the check is in the mail. So he's going to get what he wants. He's going to get the check. He's going to be happy. I guess, you know, Canada Post will take 3 days to deliver it or something like that. And that's that. So I don't know. That's a story that covers a few different topics and talks about the service that we can provide and the benefits of dealing with the insurance company. And in particular, our advisors, our professional independent advisors here at avoidprobate.ca. Okay. That's a long mailbag. We're going to have to wrap it up for this week. It was a lot of content. And of course, another great excerpt from Solving the Probate Puzzle. I want to thank Kelly, especially because we're not in studio today, so we're making her work extra hard by figuring all this stuff out remotely. We will be back in studio next week for sure at our regular time, which is 8 o'clock here on AM 740 Radio, Zoomer Radio, for another episode of the Avoid Probate Show. Thanks to Ted Walshin for his decades of radio excellence. You good for another round next week, Ted?
I am. In the meantime, enjoy your Friendship Day and your National Kids Day. Call your friends, call your kids, and enjoy this day. Enjoy that. Have a pleasant week.
Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Bye for now.
You've been listening to an exclusive podcast of Avoid Probate with Jason Laidler, heard every Sunday at 8 a.m. on Zoomer Radio. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.